9/11. Usually we call 9/11 when we need help. We're doing a series on the restoration or the rebuilding of the Tabernacle of David, and it's around Amos 9/11. On that day, I will raise up the Tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. You got to check out this series. We'll be doing that for the next number of weeks. God bless.
April 14th of this year started off with the very first message on the Tabernacle of David. If you did not catch, if you've missed any of those lessons, sessions, messages, make sure you go check it out on our website or YouTube, lighthouseniagara.com. If you missed any, and that's not just for Sundays, there's powerful messages that are preached and taught on Wednesday nights as well. So take a moment to check out those messages. Oftentimes we can get to a place of just saying, you know what, it's summertime or I've got other things to do, and we miss. The amazing and beautiful thing at this time is that everything is recorded. Everything is recorded. But we also have opportunity to check out some of these messages that you may have missed. Go back. And for me, as I speak slower, yeah, put me on 2x speed and you can catch it in half the time. The presence of God was that first message on April 14th regarding the rebuilding of the Tabernacle of David. The thing about the Tabernacle of David that was different than the Mosaic Tabernacle and also the Tabernacle that was built by Solomon and also was at the time of Jesus was that there was only one person that could go into the presence of God once a year. They couldn't get into the presence of God. And the difference was with the Tabernacle of David, they could come into the presence of God like we did this morning. Some of you, you came into the presence of God. Others, you may not have come into the presence of God. The choice, last week it was about my heart, my choice. It's our choice whether we come into the presence of God, and we just can't come in any way, but we come in by His blood, His sacrifice. As believers in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us, as we have repented and as we believe in Jesus Christ, as we receive Him, Lord, come into my life, be a part of my life. We are always in His presence. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, to believe in Jesus' name. And as a result of that, it says, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. So we were born of God when we receive Christ, as we place our faith in Him, in His name, in His name. What is the name of Jesus to you? His presence is in us as we receive Him. What do we do with His presence in our life? And David and all Israel went up to Baala, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where His name is proclaimed. Where His name is proclaimed. Hallelujah. In 1 Chronicles 16, it says, so they brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. This tabernacle was just a tent covering. Probably the only part that was covered or enclosed was the top. The rest, the Ark of the Covenant was open that anybody could come in, even as they came through the sacrifices that were being done for the people to come into the presence of God. And even as the sacrifices were being made about 5 miles away, the tabernacle of Moses was there, but the Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem. Think about it. And it was accessible to all. The sacrifices continued at the altar. Blood being shed for us, for them to come into the presence of God directly. I just say, thank you, Lord. Let me read again. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And that was at Gibeon, about 5 miles away. The rest, they were coming in. We could come in. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisin. And there's a lot we could get into there. But I want to continue. And he appointed some of the Levites. And here's what they were to do. And we are just, you might say, am I a Levite? We should be kings and priests unto God. That's what it says in Revelation 1, verse 6. It says, we are kings and priests unto God. That's who we are or should be. Each one of us. And so what we should be doing, it says, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to proclaim his name, to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate or remember, to recall things. That's what commemoration is a recalling of things. Or when you commemorate something, there's a reminder of this is what has been done, or this is what is going to be done. And so there's a recalling and a remembrance and a making known, a reminder to the people to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, then Jehiel, Jemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, Jehiel with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. At the very getting to the end of this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it's almost like a conclusion. There's a concluding. And it says in verse 35, and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles. In this case, Gentiles, we're Gentiles. Thank God we've been grafted in. But at that time, the Gentiles had been coming against the Israelites, against King David. Deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Today, I just want to title the message, Triumph in Your Praise. To triumph in your praise. The first part of this verse has to do with giving thanks to your holy name. That we would give Jesus Christ. And the key here is even the name of Jesus. Even as I began, they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord God they brought into Judah. It belonged to Judah. To bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus to be proclaimed. If you desire triumph in your life, You need triumph. You need victory. You need overcoming in the battle, in the storm, to begin to praise the Lord, to begin to give Him praise, to triumph in your praise of who He is, as we begin to recognize and acknowledge who God is, to commemorate, to remember. This is who God is, the God that I serve. Now, it's interesting, as we go or begin this next number of verses in 1 Chronicles 16, I cannot believe how many action words are being given, how much action is being called on us to do. And it is around His name. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. And this psalm is also found in Psalm. It's Psalm 106, a large, and Psalm 105, sorry, 105 as well, from verses 1 to 15. Psalm 96 from 1 to 13, Psalm 106 from 1, verse 1 for, and 47 and 48. There is so much in this that even as He gave the psalm, He gave the psalm to the singers, to those that were overseeing the praise. So let's just focus in when it comes to beginning to triumph. Do you need to triumph in your life? Do you need to overcome in your life? Are there things that you're going through in your life? As we begin to praise the Lord, as we begin to praise Him. Now listen, it is totally contrary to what you may be feeling. It is totally contrary to where you may be at. It's contrary, and there's this thing of the flesh that says, how can I praise God in these times? How can I worship Him in these times? It doesn't make any sense. And we may even feel distant from God. We may not feel, God, where are you? But God is saying to begin to praise Him, to triumph. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Things start to happen when we call on the name of Jesus and when we begin to remember and recall His deeds among the people. And sometimes you may have to go to the Word. You might say, well, I don't know. What has God done in my life? I'll tell you right now, the fact that you're breathing and that Satan hasn't wiped you out, you can begin to praise the Lord. I have life in Jesus' name. For those of us that are His children, we have life eternal in Jesus' name through Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, His sacrifice for us. We have life. Thank you, Lord. I begin to praise you. I begin to sing to you. It says, sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. The past, the present, and the future. You can already begin to talk. Start to talk of all His wondrous works. I found out a few months back that the same part of your brain that has to do with fear and anxiety is the same part of your brain that has to do with thanksgiving, and you can't do both at the same time. Think about it. The part of your brain that has to do with fear and anxiety is also the same part that is used to give thanks unto the Lord. So our focus needs to shift when it comes to the things that are coming against us. If you want to triumph, begin to triumph in, it says, your praise, not our praise. It's His praise. Your, uppercase Y, praise. The praise of Him. The one that died for us. The one that loved us and gave himself for us that we could have life. I am going to triumph in your praise. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. I will call upon his name, and I will begin to praise his name. And in it, I will triumph. I'll tell you right now, it'll probably come almost immediately, because there's a total removing of the anxiety that we may have, or the fear that we may have, or the torment we may have as we begin to praise him, Jesus, to triumph in your praise. That is our title for today, to triumph in your praise. Let us begin to glorify Jesus in who we are. In the New Testament, you say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Let me just share a few New Testament things and messages and scriptures for you. Some of you are dealing with stuff in your body. In your body, we're talking health situations. We're talking issues in your body. I heard something yesterday. This doctor was saying, hey, you know, when it comes to Parkinson's disease, when it comes to dementia, this was not the case 150, 200 years ago. They didn't have any of these things. So his take on it was, you know what? It's the air that we breathe, and what's in the air, and the pollution in the air, the chemicals or the whatever in the air, and it first came out. First case of Parkinson's came out in the early 1800s in London, this industrial city that the people walked around with stuff over their mouth and nose because of the toxins and the haze that was there, the pollutants that were in the air because of the coal and the factories that were just pumping it out. And that was the first case. Parkinson's is named after this doctor, Parkinson, who recognized that it was coming out. There was only 6 cases back then, and now we have, they're saying that 1 in 3, if they live to be longer, will have Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's or dementia. I thought, oh my goodness. Well, how can we deal with the air that we breathe? So we're going to have to wear these masks or whatever all the time? Even in the water we drink, the chemicals that are in the water we drink, pesticides and different things. So he's mentioning this. I'm just thinking, oh, wow, okay. And the food that we eat, the pesticides that are on the food that we eat. It's like, well, how can we even get around this? Lord, let me triumph in your name. Let me triumph in your name. My goodness, we get to the point where I'm not even going to leave my house, or I'm afraid. No. I'm going to triumph in his name. Lord, I'm going to declare your name. And even if I should face death, I'm going to declare your name. Death has lost its sting. Praise God. To make known his deeds among the peoples. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Don't you know that? And he's saying, recognize this, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is within us as we receive Jesus Christ into our lives. The Holy Spirit indwells us in that moment. We underestimate the name of Jesus, his sacrifice. The Holy Spirit works through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, I preach Christ crucified, the power and the wisdom of God. Just the message, just his name and what he did for us, that we commemorate it. We remind ourselves, even at communion, Jesus' name, his sacrifice, that I would begin to triumph in the praise, in his glory for me. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame Satan and his hordes on the cross, even as he died. Even in his death, he overcame death. Hallelujah. There was a resurrection that took place. In the meantime, it wasn't like, well, I'm fighting the enemy at this time. I don't know if I can overcome. There was a very clear victory that took place. Death and hell. He took the keys of death from death and hell. He took the keys and he overcame. Listen, that we would begin to recognize and acknowledge. Listen, look at what it says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "For you were bought at a price." You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, with his sacrifice on the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong. You belong to God. Does God want you to be sick? Does he want you to be defeated? Does he want you to have fears and anxieties and depressions and be overwhelmed? He does not want you to have those things. And so we don't understand or recognize the power of Jesus' name and his finished work in our body. Let's glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. This word glorify, I like it's laid out like 1, 2, 3, 4. How do we glorify someone or something? And in this case, how do we glorify God? How do we glorify him? And the first part of glorifying, doxazo, is to think, suppose, be of opinion. To think, to suppose, to ponder on, to start to draw conclusions. To be of an opinion, I'm making an opinion now based on my thoughts and my suppositions of who God is. Jesus Christ and him crucified, his name. I start to begin to think on these things. You know what? Again, we think more about the things that are coming against us. And we're overwhelmed. We wonder, why am I overwhelmed? I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. How come I'm so overwhelmed with life and within us? This is how we grieve. It says that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is how we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there saying, oh man, I want to help you. I want to help you. I'm right in here. And you're looking everywhere else for a solution. To get out of a situation, to get out of a problem. Whatever it may be. Finances, relationships, I talked about health. Every single part of life, Lord, your name. Your name. And the table of your altar, which is all about the sacrifice. Your name and your sacrifice. Let it be great in my life. Man, I need to think on this. I need to be of the opinion that Jesus' name is above every name. Is Jesus' name above every name in your life? Yes. It needs to be. Yes. It needs to be. Yes. Lord, let your name be above every name in my life, in my body, in my spirit. I like. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The next thing in this thing of glorifying is to praise, to begin to pray. So I've come to an opinion, to a conclusion. I need to start acting on the conclusion. It's, hey, you may know something, but you don't act on it. You don't follow through on it. Yeah, I know about Jesus. I know that he died for me, but I don't act on the knowledge. And here, to glorify, as we come into the presence of God, it's sometimes we'll just come and be in awe. But even this thing of being in awe, there's this recognition, oh, my God, how great you are. How great you are. I can come in boldly into the throne room of God through the veil, through that partitioning that was there. I come in by his flesh that was broken for us, his blood shed for us, and we can come in to the presence of God. Hallelujah. And I begin to recognize, not just to know Jesus Christ, not to just to recognize the power of his name, but I begin to praise and extol and magnify and celebrate his name. We need to do that. When all hell is breaking loose, that we begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for the Spirit of God. It says that the Spirit of God that makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. And other times there may be that there's a word given to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. To have this thing of allowing my spirit to begin to praise God, to communicate with God, to extol God, to magnify God. Hallelujah. Shahora basi andara. Ki kara sotura basi alala mahoria. That your name would be glorified. Lord, I glorify, I magnify your name. I extol your name this morning. You are above all, God. Jesus, you are above all. All power and authority has been given to you. Hallelujah. As we begin to magnify and celebrate Jesus Christ and him crucified, the power of his name, there is then this honoring. To honor or hold in honor, I honor your name in my life. Does our life honor Jesus' name? Sometimes we can bring shame to the name of Jesus. Lord, let my life, I need so much help. Let the Spirit of God help me to honor your name, to glorify your name, to love you, Lord Jesus. This thing of glorifying is about to hold and honor above all things, Lord. You are first and foremost. Your name, your sacrifice, what you did for me is first and foremost. And lastly, it says to make glorious, to adorn with luster, clothe with splendor his name. We clothe with splendor. We exalt. The beautiful thing is, an expansion of this is to impart glory to something, to render it excellent. Your name is above every name. Your name is above every name. I'm going to triumph in your praise. Am I going to triumph in his praise? Am I going to begin to praise him? This is where the triumph comes, even as we seek him. Hallelujah. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Hallelujah. On that day, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7, on that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. So Asaph received this psalm, and we'll read it shortly. Before I read this, his name is what is, we need to triumph in his glory, in his name, his finished work for us. But it says this regarding his name. And being found in appearance as a man, like 2,000 years ago, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he humbled himself, because he came 2,000 years ago, because he went to the cross, and because he died for us, even the death of the cross, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You are Lord in my life. You are Lord in my life in this storm. You are Lord of my life in my finances. You are Lord of my life in every area. That the things that I'm supposed to do in these different areas, that let them be done. Let them be done. Hallelujah. This week, I like what Pastor Joel, we had a chance to pray. I never saw it this way. About James chapter 2, I believe it is. About the man that goes to look at himself in the mirror. I never saw that before that way. So you look in your mirror, and then after you're finished looking in the mirror, you go away and you forget what kind of person you are. Think about it. So here's what was Pastor Joel's take on, I don't know, Thursday morning as we came together for prayer. This is what we do in church. This is what we do when we hear the word of the Lord. So as we look in the mirror, we hear the word of God. We take in the word of God. Uh-huh. Yep. Yes. Yes. Yes, I got this. I hear this. I need to do this. And we turn away. We forget everything we just heard and said that we were going to do, and we don't live the way that we're supposed to. So there's this aspect of, I come, and I know what I should do, but I don't do it. I know how I should live, but I don't live. I just leave those things. I know that. Yes, I look in the mirror. Yes, that's who I am. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not saying this so much as a rebuke as I am saying it. Grab a hold of what is within you. The power of Jesus' name that's available to you. The power of the Holy Spirit that resides within you, that wants to help you through every situation as we glorify Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. You've heard me say that for years now. Stand on it. Stand on it. His name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Let the mountains bow. We heard it this morning as we sang. I don't know which song it was. The sea roars, the mountains bow down. The obstacles that would be in our life, let them bow down before the name of Jesus. His name. Whatever the mountain in your life, the obstacle in your life, let it bow down at the name of Jesus as you begin to praise him. Let the triumph come at your praise, in your praise, as I praise you, Lord God. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, Revelation 3:7, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. You say, I don't have open doors. It seems like everywhere I go, I've got a closed door. Nothing seems to work out. I know your works, the Lord says. I know your works to us. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Three things. You have little strength, so you're going to go to the Lord. You're not going to depend on your own strength. Deny yourself. Deny your own strength. Deny your own wisdom, which is oftentimes so foolish, but I'm so smart. I know everything. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Says, you want an open door? You want to overcome? Recognize your little strength. You have kept my word. I've opened a door for you because you have kept my word. Lord, let me keep your word. Let me keep your word. But the last thing here, interestingly enough, you have not denied my name. You have not denied my name. I'm going to declare your name. I'm going to triumph in your name. Listen, you know how most people use Jesus' name? In vain. It's a swear word. But I'll tell you right now, I just in the last few weeks, I recognize, man, we do the same thing. Here's how we do it. We're praying for something in a situation, and we say, in Jesus' name. We don't believe it. I don't believe that your name is above everything. I don't believe that your name is able to take care of my situation. So when I pray, and I say, in Jesus' name, but I don't mean it. Listen, you might say, Pastor, don't be so harsh on me. Listen, I'm preaching to myself here. My thing is, oh man, I'm going to be declaring his name. I'm going to be triumphing. In the midst of the storm, in the worst of times, I will triumph because I'm going to declare his name. I'm going to glorify his name. Hallelujah. To make his name known. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God, the open door that we have, we have not denied his name. Do you want an open door? Do you want to triumph? Some of you are praying for your loved ones. And you recognize they are caught up in the synagogue of Satan. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I had a hard time with that verse. He said, what does that mean? There's other passages in Matthew. I think it's chapter 18. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I've heard, or I've said it many times now in the last while, the only thing that Satan has that we could ever want are souls. Satan has souls that are his. He has lied to them. He has deceived them. And you're saying, how am I going to get them out? And it is by the church, the body of Christ. Already, Lord, I'm going to declare your name. Jesus is the head. We are the body. The body is the church. We together, as we exalt him, I believe that we are going to see entire families and clans saved before the Lord returns. The people that you're praying for, I believe that we're going to see them as you stand on Jesus' name. Do not deny his name. A name is all about who a person is and what they've done for us. Perhaps when I recognize or hear a name, as soon as I hear the name, I right away say, oh, do I know that person? If I don't know their name, somebody was texting yesterday, said, hey, here's my new number. And it was like, but they didn't give me their name. I'm saying, okay, so who is this person? I don't know. And I said, is that you, Harold? Is that you, Harold? And it was after about 2 or 3 hours, just a lot of suspense and turmoil in my head. It was said, no, it's, and gave their name. I said, oh, okay, so now I can start to have interaction. I know exactly who I'm talking to. Listen, that we would recognize the name of Jesus and what he's done for us to give us victory in every aspect of our life. There's so many Christians that are going through life and they're not having their victory in their life. Just quickly. Because you have kept my command to persevere, Revelation 3:10, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We won't go through it. Won't go through it. I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man may take your crown. You might say, what am I holding fast to? What saved you? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hang on to that. Hang on to that. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. There's something about names and the name that the Lord would put on us, and even the name that we would declare and triumph in is the name of Jesus. Is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to just read quickly through about 20 verses. I'm going to try not to make too much expanding on it. This is going back to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 10. Let's just start from there. It says, glory in his holy name. Glory, boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. You're going to rejoice in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Don't go everywhere else. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is just. Justice will be served. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The promises that he's made to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, let's hang on to him. O word, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Man, we're going to live a long time. For eternity. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. And confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Listen, we are also, because of the faith that Abram had, it was accounted to him as righteousness, and that we would be believing like Abraham, to be the children of Abraham because of his faith. God accounted to righteousness because of our faith. In Jesus, what he did for us, it's accounted, imputed to us as righteousness. Hallelujah. Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. That was 4,000 years ago. He promised that. For the last 2,000 years, most of the time, Israel was scattered all over the place, the Jews. 2,000 years, almost in 1948, May 14th, 1948, they became a nation. After not being a nation for almost 2,000 years, there's a lot of turmoil in the Middle East. The Lord said that's what's going to happen just before he comes. And even after he comes, there's going to be turmoil. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. There was a man that tried to exterminate the Jews, 6 million Jews, 1939 to 45. And the nation wasn't overcome. Most nations would have been totally, or peoples would have been totally taken out. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Andrew said earlier, we're not serving a God that's made out of gold or silver or bronze or wood carved. These are just idols. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give or ascribe or recognize, realize, praise to the Lord, glory and strength. Lord, all glory is yours. All strength is yours. I ascribe it to you, Jesus Christ. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Can I just say in a nutshell, what is the most precious thing that you can offer the Lord? Your life. Lord, I give you my life. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. Why? Well, this world, don't be transformed by this world, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. As your mind, as you dwell on the Lord, as you ascribe to him all glory and honor, it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. God doesn't want you to be going through all hell. He wants to give to you triumph. Hallelujah. So the most beautiful thing to worship the Lord is to give him our lives completely and to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Can somebody tell me, how is the only way that you can be holy? We are crucified with Christ. Deny yourself. Take up the cross daily. It is by his finished work. I acknowledge, and I'm even with the Lord. By faith, I say, Jesus Christ and him crucified for me. If we confess our faults. This morning, there was confession that was made up front here. There is something powerful if we confess our faults to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing takes place in the two verses before that. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are cleansed. And it happens the moment we begin to confess. Lord, I confess my flaws and my faults and my sin to you. And the Lord Jesus forgives. Thank God for forgiveness. It is through his broken body and his shed blood for us, and we can begin to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, right into his presence by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that separation, that is his flesh. But his flesh was broken, his blood shed for us. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This morning, we came and we assembled together. There was a praise and a worship that went up to the Lord. What a beautiful worship that went up to the Lord this morning. It was all about the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, I think was the last song that you guys sang. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He is in control. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God, our salvation. You can declare it. You can declare it. It's in quotation marks. You can say, Lord God, save us. You are our God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the obstacles, from those that may be against us, even the Gentiles that would come against us, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we stand together? I'm going to call on the worship team. Can we sing that last song? And then we got a few things to take care of this morning. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. I think it was the one that you said, what a beautiful name it is. Today, I don't want you to go through life saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. How am I going to change myself? The beautiful thing is, you don't have to change yourself. God will change you as you totally surrender to him. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of God will be coming out of you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And those that are Christ that have crucified their lusts and their passions, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit of God. And here, the Spirit of God wants to give you, wants to change your life. The things that you can't do, he's saying, I'm going to change it. Just give yourself to me. Keep your faith. Declare. Triumph in his glory as you give praise to him. I'm going to praise the Lord. I give myself. I surrender myself completely to the Lord. The Lord will change you. So you're not going like this. It's kind of hard to get out of the quicksand when you're pulling on your hair. It just hurts really much, a lot. It hurts a lot when you're trying to do this. I thank God he is there to say, hey, grab a hold. Grab a hold. His hand is right there. Come on, grab a hold of me. I'm going to pull you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.